Right, so first things first, let's talk about what I understand is now the rebirth of the anti-apartheid movement. So with me is Reverend Frank Chikane, who I have to tell you, I was at an event last night and a moderated part of that launch, so I certainly have a sense of what happened there. Reverend Chikane, appreciate your time. You're now very much on the national pulse.
Good afternoon to your listeners here.
Thank you. Right. So let's talk about this. When we say a rebirth of the anti-apartheid movement, I mean, the obvious one is what has actually happened to the original anti-apartheid movement?
No, as you know, the anti-apartheid movement was established in the late 1950s to support the struggle for liberation in South Africa against apartheid. As you know, that the work of that organization became global. There's no struggle which had such a global movement to support one country in a struggle. And it also influenced the UN. The UN adopted resolutions against racism and apartheid, declared apartheid a crime against humanity. But in 1994, we got our freedom. And there was also a special committee at the UN on apartheid. When we got our freedom, all that sort of packed up. But the movement in London changed its name and deals with other human rights issues at the present moment. But we thought when we were visiting Palestine, the Palestinians asked us, can you help us to establish or start up or bring to life an anti-apartheid movement, because what they are facing in Israel is indeed an apartheid system. Some call it a settler colonial apartheid system, from the sea to the river, as they call it. And so they felt South Africans are the people who will understand them better and that they can assist in doing that. And that's why we then decided to set up a steering committee in South Africa to organize a conference of that nature, really to assist the Palestinians who are experiencing the same, going through the same experiences as us, even worse, actually.
All right, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the experiences in a second, but I want to get the story right. So the anti-apartheid movement as we knew it, did that sort of die off then in 1994?
No, it didn't die off. It changed. I think it's called ACT or something like that.
Okay.
I haven't changed the name, but there's a new name. It changed because apartheid was gone as far as they were concerned. And it actually became an action group for human rights around the world.
Okay. But
the movement as we knew it, no, it doesn't exist. Yes, we know.
Okay,
it, yeah.
So this grouping, this anti-apartheid movement rebirth, right? You're saying it was it's been set up based upon or premised on a call for the Palestinians to support them. Is it therefore restricted to the Palestinian cause, or is it beyond that? Considering the key word here is anti-apartheid.
Yeah, that's where it started. It is about the Palestinian cause, but the view is that there is apartheid manifesting itself in different forms in the world, and that if we have a new movement like this, we should be able to deal with any situation that we may be confronted with. When we interacted with the UN, the question was, special committee on apartheid was for South Africa. So you can't resuscitate it. Because it was for South Africa, we said, well, set up a special committee on apartheid so that we deal with any experience of apartheid or any form of apartheid that raises its head in the world.
Mm. How?
Yeah.
So, in this case here, how then do you, and I understand you head up the steering committee for what? The overall movement as well as the conference coming up, which we'll talk about next, okay? But how then do you intend using this rebirthed anti-apartheid movement to raise issues around countries that, according to you, would be committing acts of apartheid, you know, hashtag Israel, but there can be others as well. So practically, what would you be doing?
Well, I think, I mean, the way that anti-apartheid movement worked, really, is to identify the injustices in those countries, the acts of racism, the discrimination against people, and set. And in the main, it was actually subjecting the apartheid system to sanctions, boycotts, you know, disinvestment, etc. So that was its major focus. Actually, it started not as a governmental issue. It was not focused on government. It was ordinary citizens who decided we're not going to eat, buy oranges from South Africa, for instance, and it spread throughout Europe. And so it is citizens who take up the issues and then call for boycotts and, you know, the sports boycott, for instance, cultural boycotts. And that's what happened with South Africa. Isolated until it actually ends.
Okay.
It's a apartheid system.
Let's take
there are many things that can be done. I mean, there are,
Let's take a step back then to your visits to that region, I think towards the end of last year. We don't have time to talk about it in detail, but specifically, what did you observe? And then you said there was specific requests for people like yourself to assist the Palestinians. So tell me about that.
Yeah, the initial visit in December last year was really because of the genocide in Gaza. So we went there to be with them. But the initial visit was May 2022. And in that visit, we went through East Jerusalem and various other areas up to Ramallah. And experience what people are experiencing. For instance, in East Jerusalem, we find people who were being threatened with evictions. They were removed and you know, pushed out of the mainland that's now called Israel to East Jerusalem. And East Jerusalem was still part of Palestine under Jordan. And they build houses there. Now they are being pushed to get out because somebody says, centuries ago, my ancestors used to be here. But the law they are using, which is a Knesset law, allows the Jews to do that, to make that claim. But the Palestinians who were removed in 1948 can't go and claim their houses, which are still there, their properties, etc., because they are Palestinian. And for me, that proved beyond doubt that this is racism. And then, of course, their houses were being bulldozed. I went to a place where a house was being bulldozed, and people couldn't do anything about it.
All right. So you've seen many examples of that, right? Okay. Let's move on very quickly because we need to wrap up then. In terms of the movement, firstly, who are the people that are involved in the movement? And then lastly, we'll talk very quickly about your conference coming up on the 10th of May.
Yeah, no, let me just say we set up a steering committee when we came back of all the solidarity groups, any Palestinian solidarity group, the faith organizations, academics, and as you know, that's how South Africa would operate. We opened it up to anybody who's prepared to do it. We then consulted, we had further consultations with Palestinians and agreed on a conference. And this conference is going to happen on the 10th to the 12th of May. We have invited people from every region of the world. I mean, it's only finances that are restricting us, but there are many people would like to be part of this conference from Latin America, North America, Europe, Asia, Africa, north of us. And so we're expecting people who are the former anti-apartheid veterans and those who are younger, who are concerned about what's happening in Israel, Palestine, and particularly what's happening in Gaza. And they will be here. I mean, we've got confirmations now.
Can you give me some names? Can you give me some names of people, speakers who are attending?
No, I can. I mean, I'm not having the program in front of me, but we've got a number of people like Barghouti, who's one of the leaders in Palestine, and a number of other people. I mean, Sinn Féin leader who's coming. I can give you the list. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, maybe we'll tweet it out. So Mustafa Barghouti, and you're saying a leader from Sinn Féin in Ireland, amongst many others. Yeah. Okay, look forward to seeing what comes out of that. Just the last thing, what impact are you hoping to get out of the conference?
Now, firstly, there's going to be a declaration that says clearly this is an apartheid system and it must come to an end. And second, it will deal with issues that, for instance, like refugees who came out of that place are not allowed to return. Now, in terms of international law, once a war comes to an end, refugees are allowed to go back home, but in this case, they don't. So we'll deal with all those issues. But the key issue of the conference is to strategize about how together we can deal with this. And okay. So all the delegates will go back home to go ahead. This is a consultative process.
Okay, that's where we're where we're going to leave it. I'm sure, you know, maybe just send your details of the conference with my producer. We'll publish it or announce it live on the air. Reverend Frank Chikane, Chairperson of the South African Anti-Apartheid Steering Committee.